Brian Winworth and the Hoop Collective. This is Andrew Hahn. Full disclosure, we're recording this introduction late Saturday night. It's about 11:40 p.m. Eastern time after the skills challenge, the three-point contest, the dunk contest. I'm sitting next to Brian Winhorst. He has completely lost his voice. You'll hear how bad it is at the end of this podcast.
You're going to hear it actually get worse because we were recording parts of this podcast for 3 days. You're going to hear my descent into hell.
That's ghoulish Brian Winhorst you just heard. And we're going to go straight to Thursday, 3 days ago now, Brian, where we interviewed several players. You made some very, very keen picks.
I don't make predictions. I want to say, this is... I know that my voice is annoying and it's going to get annoying, more annoying. This is one of the best podcasts we've ever had. Andrew and I had a lot of fun doing it, so please bear with us. I don't sound this bad the whole time.
Why did you take the zip ties off your off-white?
They're annoying me. I just took them off.
Thank you. They annoyed me too. I don't understand. I see people almost tripping on them all the time.
No, they're usually cool, but just on this pair.
Okay.
Because the laces, the way
they're
set up.
So it just depends on the pair.
Yeah.
I see. So they're not off all of your...
Not on all of them.
Okay.
Brian, it's Thursday.
Yeah, it's getting going.
It's getting going. We are in one of the many media hotels that the NBA has blocked out for this.
This is the players are staying here, I'm pretty sure.
Are they?
Some of them are, I think.
And which hotel is that?
I don't think I should say. It's a nice hotel in Charlotte. It's not the nicest hotel you've ever seen, but it's a nice hotel.
Okay. I didn't know that the Four Seasons is just a nice hotel.
This is a Shangri-La, Andrew. So what we're doing here today, I mean, this is kind of a grunt work assignment that I have. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. Can you let our listeners know what it is?
So this is the car wash, which is, I think it's actually an ESPN term where they take players or personalities or whatever and they walk them down this long hallway with a bunch of rooms and they stop in each room to do interviews or do photo shoots. It's like a car wash. You know, you get squirted by this and brushed by this, blah, blah, blah.
So in this particular setup, there's like a social room. I see there's a room for sneakers. There's
right.
a room for
there's
other
photos.
League partners.
They're doing photos. They're doing videos.
Yep, all sorts of stuff. And then there's one for us.
There's one for us. So we've interviewed a whole bunch of people today. I think like 10 or 12 guys. Coach Bud has been in. Luka Doncic has been in, DeAndre Ayton, all the Rising Stars guys, and but I'm really excited about who we got coming in next. And by the way, this would be for SportsCenter or various digital things.
It's going to a whole bunch of places.
Actually, you know what's interesting, Andrew? They wanted me to ask all these players about James Harden because
okay.
we're preparing a feature for. I just do what I'm told.
Uh huh.
I mean, I come up with the questions for the rest of it, but they also want everybody that's Harden questions. And some of these guys do not like James Harden, and that came through. Some of them were being very diplomatic. Some of these guys do not like him.
I was kind of surprised at how forthright some of them were being.
Yeah, like some were like, well, he gets every call from the refs, and I don't want to ruin the feature, so I won't say who. But I think some of ours might wind up on there, unless I'm wrong. Anyway... I'm really excited to talk to this next guy, Joe Harris, starting wing for the Brooklyn Nets. And Andrew, he's my pick to win the 3-point contest.
Wait, who?
Joe Harris. I know that Steph. We talked to Seth Curry earlier. Steph Curry is in it, and everybody thinks one of the Curry brothers are home here in Charlotte. Dirk is in it as a sentimental favorite. Buddy Hield is in it. I mean, it's a loaded field.
And you're picking the guy that
I'm
has the most
Joe,
generic name
Joe
of all
Harris.
The contestants.
Joe Harris. He's my pick. And so for that exact reason. Because nobody expects him to win.
Okay.
So he's going to come in a minute. Do you think he thinks that this interview will be on SportsCenter, or do you think he knows this is going to be just on our podcast, Hoop Collective Podcast?
Well, it depends on how good of a liar you are.
Okay. So Joe may think he's doing a sit-down for SportsCenter, but actually he's doing Hoop Collective. But I want to talk to him about some stuff getting ready for this three-point contest. How was your first All-Star weekend?
It's been interesting. A little chaotic, for sure. But obviously a pretty cool experience and just a lot of fun being out here, especially with a lot of my teammates. I just got off of Sirius Radio with Jarrett and Spencer, and we had Rhodey around for a little while too. So it's been fun having everybody here. Yeah, it's awesome.
Good, right?
It's awesome. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So I know you've talked about this in the past, but you were out of the league a couple years ago.
Yep.
And you have a great contract. You're putting up good numbers, but when you get to All-Star Weekend and take part in the three-point contest, there's an opportunity. But man, I was sitting at home with that injury. I mean, didn't know what I was going to do. I mean,
yeah,
it's been a long journey.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of look back on it just to see, you know, the progression, to see where I've come. I guess even in like the last 3 years, and just since the time that you know, was traded from Cleveland, waived by Orlando, and the thing I kind of, you know, always talk about is that everybody in this league has got a different path of kind of figuring out their niche and their role. And some people it takes a little bit longer than others. Sometimes it just takes, you know, a stroke of luck here or there. And for me, it was just, you know, fortunate to get an opportunity with Brooklyn, where the organization was just a good fit on almost every level.
What was that day like when you got traded and you were hurt and you were like, you were going to be out and you, like, you're out of the league?
Yeah. I mean, it's a brutal reminder of just the business of the NBA. You know, that was really my first taste of it. Obviously, I had unbelievable experience in Cleveland, developed some really good relationships there, learned a lot. But then, you know, had surgery on my foot, and same day I had surgery, David Griffin calls me. I'm sitting there, you know, literally right off the operating table, and, you know, said it's unfortunate timing, but we just traded you to Orlando. Orlando calls me shortly after that, says they're waiving me. And I go from being a part of a championship team to out of the NBA. And, you know, your mind obviously spinning in a whole lot of different ways. But through it all, you know, I still was, you know, optimistic and just had a little bit of hope
day,
there.
Joe.
Yeah, yeah, it was a pretty wild day, you know. But that's just, you know, a lot of guys have got similar stories. It's just, you know, sometimes you kind of lose that perspective on the NBA. You don't see that side a lot of times, but that happens, you know. And that's just sort of the unfortunate side of it.
Okay, so how much have you been practicing for the three-point contest?
I've practiced a little bit. So I had a run-through right when I first got announced to get in, and then I'm going to practice here in Charlotte the next couple of days.
And, you know, are we studying, like, the greats on the technique for the ball rack? I mean, how are you preparing?
Yeah,
you
I watched a couple of guys shoot on it just to see where they were kind of grabbing it from. Yeah, you know, obviously, I am, you know, putting definitely a lot of time just to compete. You know, you're coming in here to compete, to try to win. But, you know, overall, I think, you know, the most important thing is just to enjoy the experience of everything.
Keep telling yourself that.
Yeah.
We don't believe it. We don't believe it. We think that you're trying to win. Why wouldn't you try?
Yeah, you want to win. That's what you're here for, right? You get invited. You know, it's awesome to be, and it's an honor to be invited. But, you know, we're all competitors. That's why we're here. That's why we're where we're at. And I think that's the way that you have to look at it. You have to compete to win.
So you keep in track. You're like, oh, man, that was an 18. I need a 25. That was a 21. I need a 28. I mean, are you keeping track on these?
Yeah, I'll keep track of my numbers to see where I'm at. You know, see where I'm hitting, see what guys have kind of hit in the past. Obviously the format is a little bit different. You know, you only have the two rounds. So, it's definitely important, obviously, to shoot well initially.
It's really different, right? Because you're working off racks.
Yeah.
Have you ever shot off a rack?
I've never shot off a rack before. I mean, obviously you mess around maybe when you're young, grab it off the ball rack just to pretend
you didn't
like
have
you're shooting
six balls or five balls.
No, exactly. So it's different. You know, just, the taking your eyes off the rim to reach down, grab the ball, look back up. I mean, you're not even really watching the ball go in the rim. You're kind of shooting, grabbing the ball, and just going from there. So just that in itself is a big change up.
Yeah. So, do you have like a goal in mind, like a number in mind that you think you need?
To be honest, I know that, you know, you look across the field and it's stacked.
There's a bunch of Currys.
Yeah. I mean, it's a stacked field. Some guys that can really shoot it.
It's their hometown. Yeah. They might be friendly rim.
The way that I'm looking at it is, you know, you're gonna have to shoot extremely well. You know, hopefully only miss a couple of shots to give yourself a chance.
Are you a sneakerhead? You're a sneakerhead.
Now that I have the money, yes, I am. Before,
and you have to buy them, like kind of stuff.
Yeah. When I was younger, no.
No, I mean now you don't have to buy them.
No. Now that I'm able to have the access. To
you're not. Did you see that the other day that PJ Tucker said he spent $30,000? I mean that can't be true, right? Did you see that?
That's a Toyota.
No kidding. It's more than a Toyota. It's a bunch of cars. A Subaru. What else? Whatever you want to call it.
I remember my mom had a Toyota.
Oh, okay.
That's why she was like 30,000. But I'm like, that's a car, man.
Right. But you'd be afraid to wear them.
To each. I wouldn't want to wear them. They'd have to be like.
Right.
Or vice versa. I wear them every day.
Mm.
And they can never get scuffed.
They
can never
get.
But that's for $30,000, and they have to come out.
But you'd be freaking out because you'd see the scuffs.
No, I'm saying they'd have to come. The shoe would have to come with like scuffs.
Have to be
yeah, you'd have to be like no creases, no scuffs, no anything.
Right.
That's how the shoe like is made. It can never get scuffed. It can spill something on it.
So, what is your favorite pair of shoes?
To play or in general?
Both.
I love the Pharrells. Those are one of my favorite pairs. Pharrells for sure.
And do you have a special pair that you like to play in? There's a big
mine. My shoe, of course.
Okay, Andrew, it's Friday afternoon.
It is Friday afternoon.
We have a little thing that we're going to do here, and we have to be sworn to secrecy. We're going to go to John Collins of the Atlanta Hawks. Dunk practice, slam dunk contest practice.
Yeah, he's one of the many dunk participants on Saturday night.
Well, there's four. Is that many?
I mean, one is one, two is a couple, three is a few, four would be many.
Anyway, there's four dunk contests, dunk participants. I was really interested in him. He's having a huge season for the Hawks. He was hurt earlier in the year. As soon as he came back, the Hawks started winning games. So he's a big guy, though, Andrew. He's 6'10". He's power forward, but a great leaper. And, you know, not the favorite, probably. Dennis Smith Jr. is a favorite. Miles Bridges is the local. He's not from here, but he's, you know, Hornet.
He's the Charlotte Hornet, the local boy.
And then Hamadou Diallo. Is it Hamadou Diallo?
I believe so.
Okay. From the Thunder, who I really don't know much about. I've only seen him play a few minutes this season. So our plan here is, and this I'm not going to lie, this took a lot of negotiation to get in because this is all super-duper secret. And the other media are not allowed in the building right now. We had to go through. The NBA was very kind and bringing us through some hoops to bring us in here.
Right. I had to leave and come back because my paperwork wasn't the proper one.
That's right. You had the burden of going and getting a brand new different credential.
Yep.
At a whole other building down the street.
Yep.
So that we could do this. And so the plan is he's got a super tight schedule. So we are going to ride over from the arena to the players' hotel with him in his van. All the players get moved around in these sprinter vans.
Can you describe what the sprinter van looked like for the uninitiated?
Well, it's like twice as high as an SUV and has like four rows of seats. Were there four rows of seats?
It's like a luxury minivan, I guess.
Yeah, like some players have them tricked out so that they only seat like three or four, but really nicely. But this is, we're taking family and friends and agents and
right.
PR folks. And
this is more utility than it is luxury.
But I would say this. These vans are moving around the city. The city's hard to move around right now. There's street closures and lanes. I wish we could just get one of those so that you and me could move around the city easier.
That would be great. It's like your own personal fast pass.
Exactly. It's like having your own personal carpool lane at all times. So there's some interesting stuff happening with props. I don't mean prop bets. I mean, like, we've seen some props.
Okay.
That are going to go onto the court.
Okay.
We'll see if he will be willing to talk. I don't want to reveal anything. Even though you're listening to this, you already know what happened. We'll see if he talks about what's going on with that. All right, we're in the car with John Collins. You just walked away from practice. You got your family with you, and you just had your practice, and you're talking about some awesome sounding dunks. So, like, tell me your emotion level right now. How'd you feel that went?
I feel like it went pretty well. I'm trying to just stay as calm as possible. I'm one to get overexcited,
okay,
and, you know, and whatnot. So I'm trying to keep level-headed, stay cool, and go out there and try to really win it and approach it like it's sort of a game.
So how long ago did you know you were going to be in the dunk contest?
Honestly, I could feel that last year. I could already know that this year is going to be coming.
Okay.
So I think I've known for a while now.
Okay, so how long did you start preparing for it?
I've been preparing for a little under a month and a half.
Okay, so what was your process? Like, were you watching film? Were you messing with having teammates evaluate? Like, how did you come up with your four your four dunks that you're going to be getting ready for?
Yeah, it was a whole nine, really. Teammates, I would ask my family or my teammates if they had any ideas or coaches. And then I would sort of narrow it down to what I actually know I could do, or what I feel like I could practice without really trying too hard and, you know, burning my legs. And so that was sort of the process, is knowing what I could do without practicing, trying certain things that aren't going to get me tired, and then, like I said, trying to add little stuff, bits and pieces from the family, the teammates, so everything sort of fits together.
Now, what's this airplane I just hear him talking about? What do you got going with the airplane?
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I'm just talking
it's
about
it. It's going to be after.
It's just a windmill. Windmill over the airplane. Nice one-hand, two-hand windmill. Over.
Two-hand windmill?
It's supposed to be a replica. The airplane I'm jumping over is supposed to be a replica of the Wright Brothers.
I saw
airplane
that
first took flight in North Carolina.
I saw that.
Which,
okay,
you know, I'm a little history buff, so it'd be like an ode to North Carolina.
I saw this plane come in. How'd you get this plane?
What do you mean, how'd I get it? The NBA has a lot of strings they can pull.
Okay, so how long ago did you say, I want to jump over the Wright Brothers airplane? Because I'm not going to lie, I saw it and I did a double take and said, what is that for?
Yeah, some people like jump over cars, trying to jump over a plane. I think I've been trying to do this for about, like I say, about around the month and a half, around the same time.
Okay,
I started.
I'm just gonna tell you right now, I don't know if you're gonna win. Genius.
Thank you.
I mean, you gotta execute it, right?
Of course.
But genius.
That's what I was trying to think. I was thinking in
my mind.
And
by the way,
oh, yeah,
this thing looks real. Like, it's the legit, like, it looks like it costs some money.
Yeah, we had the actual builders of the plane, of the replica plane in there, shook their hands and everything. Thank them for building the plane on such short notice. So I'm trying to come out there for sure. I haven't seen the plane until just recently, just now. And I just jumped over and everything, completed the dunk. So it's really exciting for me to, like,
that's awesome,
not see it before, come in, see it, jump over it, and put it in.
So when do you bring that out? I mean, you got to save it, but you also got to make sure you advance.
Yeah, it's definitely a second or third dunk.
Okay.
I'm definitely not coming out. I don't feel like I'm coming out with it for sure, but I feel like
we will keep your
secret.
Won't say a word. I'm inspired.
Thank you.
I'm inspired.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I thought you were having a great season, but this is going to top it. All those 35 point games.
Yes. This is hopefully gonna you know.
This is next level, John.
Heat up the fire. Put everything in the pot. We can stir it all up and finally get going.
So let me tell you why this is genius. Because you got a hometown kid dunking in it, Bridges, and this is going to overcome that, because you're gonna go after the heart and soul of this town.
You're with me. You're thinking how I'm thinking. I'm thinking. Listen, how are we going to be North Carolina? And they're going to say they're not going to give a man jumping over, trying to windmill over a replica Wright Brothers airplane. How are you not going to give that a 50?
Oh my God. Okay. Do you think judges are biased against really tall dunkers?
No. I just think most of the time taller guys just usually don't have as much mini tricks. Like, okay. It's tougher. Like, when Dwight Howard won, I feel like Dwight deserved to win. But when other big guys, like, I'll say Dwight because he's the only really, really big man I could remember winning it in my recent memory. So I feel like the big guys have to come with it a little bit more, and I'm going to try to do that.
Okay, so how much have you – each dunk, how many times did you think you've completed it? Like, what's your confidence level?
If I'm being completely honest, I've only – from the dunks I just tried in there, I've only completed two before. And I just completed all four. So I've only worked on two dunks.
So this is pretty interesting. It's going to be pretty interesting to watch this. Mm-hmm. Let's see how this goes.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling pretty confident. See, my thing is, I know I can complete or do most of these dunks. It's more about the legs. Like, as soon as my legs go, I'm done. So the more legs I have, the more fresh my legs are, the easier the competition.
So do you have to moderate how much in warm-ups? You got to save your energy for those four jumps, right?
Yeah.
You got to blow it out in those four jumps.
It's basically like staying as loose as you possibly can for as long as you can. So when you do jump, you're getting like that full, you know, you're getting the full intensity or whatever you want to say. You're getting the full maximum power and effort out of that jump. So I'm be taking very good care of my body over the next 24 hours.
Okay, what does that mean?
Stretching, Normatec, eating right, extra sleep, lots of water.
You like preparing for a playoff game.
Yeah,
awesome.
I want to win this.
Right.
It's funny because I don't think, you know, Miles might have some pressure. Dennis might also have some pressure second year, but I feel like for me, I feel like since I have Spud, Neek, and Josh and Vince looking over me in my shoulder like this, I feel like
the Hawks history is
it's about that time.
Okay, what is your experience in dunk contests? Have you done this before?
I'm one for one. One high school, and that was it. Completed all my dunks first time. Won it. Never did a dunk contest again.
Awesome. And so what was your big move at that time, and are you bringing that back?
Yeah, I actually have all the videos on Instagram if you want to see it. But it was like a 360 windmill, and then I had one where I threw it off the – you know, high school gyms are a little smaller.
Yeah.
So I threw it off the back of the wall.
And you did that one try?
Mm-hmm. Windmill. And I did the pass. I took two passes.
Okay.
The first one I didn't jump at, and the second one I threw it, dunked it. And then what was the third one? The third one was just an East Bay, regular between the legs, off like, you know, a couple steps, and then I won it off of that.
I am very excited about your chances. Thank you. We're at the hotel. You got a busy day. Thank you for letting us do this. And I am, hopefully when this runs on Sunday, we are going to have been talking to the Slam Dunk Champion. And
yes, sir.
The preview of the Wright Brothers plane. Did you see the Wright Brothers plane, Andrew? I thought it was awesome.
Really awesome. Right.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate it. Good luck, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you for having me on.
Coming after the break, All-Star Saturday Night, an interview with Kevin Harlan, and does Brian Windhorst keep his voice?
Family's obviously big for us and like our support, and so kind of wanted to weave that into the bet, so whoever loses has to pick up the tab for all the tickets anytime we play against each other for the rest of our careers, which the stakes are high considering how many people show up for our game. So I got to get the best of him tonight. I know he's very confident though.
All right, Andrew, it's All-Star Saturday night.
I can tell. It sounds like you had a busy Thursday and Friday.
What is the correct thing to do? Should I allow the folks to think that I have partied remarkably over the last couple of days, thereby extending the, you know, farce that this is a wonderful life with all party and no problems, fire festival style? Or should I just admit that I'm getting sick yet again? Or at least my sickness is re-engaging and I've been sick for weeks and there's no end in sight. Which is the better way to play it?
Oh, Brian, you definitely got sick is what's going on. Wink, wink.
Do you care about this girls' competition at all? I mean, I feel like I'll use that time to eat dinner.
That's a good time to eat dinner. Yeah, I think so. Here's a broader question, though. Do you think Saturday night is the biggest night of All-Star Weekend? Has it eclipsed the All-Star game itself now?
I think probably the most fun thing for fans is the All-Star practices, which is now televised. You can watch that. I'm sure it's on NBA TV. Because I think that you just sort of see guys having fun with each other in the natural environment. The game is like more about the pageantry and the halftime show and like the pregame stuff. I like the three-point contest. The slam dunk contest it's an incredible, you know, talk about a prop bet. It can either be awesome and you can enjoy it thoroughly all the way through, or it can be like, boy, is this lame. And we don't really seem to know. And I've sat through them, what I like to call the Nate Robinson era, where I just couldn't wait for them to get over. Let's just get this over with. But then a couple years ago, we had Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine.
That was a great one.
Right, and would you have predicted going in that was what it was going to be?
No, not at all.
So we're vested in John Collins tonight.
We are vested in John Collins.
Now, there's a little curveball here. The last update that I had was that the Hawks hadn't approved John Collins jumping over the airplane yet.
Wow, okay.
And that they were a little bit worried that he was going to trip on it and, you know, injure himself.
Who would have thought that Hawks would be afraid of flight?
Where's my rim shot? So there's some drama just for our podcast listeners about whether he will do it or not. Of course, you probably already know whether he did or not. It's drama for me, whether he did it or not. So I've cast my lot that John Collins will win the slam dunk and that Joe Harris, no name Joe Harris, almost literally no name Joe Harris, will win the three-point. Are you in agreement with me or disagreement with me?
Well, considering that those were the contestants that we interviewed, I would also be in agreement.
We interviewed other contestants.
Yes.
We interviewed Buddy Hield, for example. We had the opportunity to interview other dunk contestants. We chose John Collins.
Right. We did choose them for specific purposes. So this podcast is incredibly biased and is going with Joe Harris and John Collins.
I could be horribly wrong, but I just have a feeling. All right, so we're going to, in a little bit, talk to Kevin Harlan, who's calling, who's do the play-by-play, if you will, for TNT tonight. One of my favorite play-by-play announcers in the league, so I'm happy to talk to him. And then we're going to see how things go tonight and take you through it. But there is the most important question. When we are done tonight and we wrap this up, will I have a voice?
No.
All right, well, the next person you may hear from may be Andrew Hahn. Thank you for doing this.
Sean, you kidding me? Come on. When he said it, I go, absolutely. You're such a fan of yours.
Thank you. And I of yours.
My son in particular. My son just loves you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, he really is a big fan.
Are we ready? Test 1, 2. We're okay? All right. So we're here with Kevin Harlan, who's calling. Wouldn't call this the game. What do you call? You calling the events?
All-Star Saturday. I just, skills competition, which kind of encompasses, as you know, all the different things that they'll run tonight, the different three different events, and that's probably the best way to do it. And that's what I've been doing. And
how many years now?
Well, a lot since 2001, I think was my first year. When we first started, we had Vern Lundquist and Dick Stockton.
Man.
Yeah. And I was the third guy. I came in 96 and Turner started doing a lot more of these right around 2000. And then Marv joined about 2001, 2002. So I kind of got whatever was left, and
yes,
they would give me this, and I enjoyed it, and I've been doing it ever since, and it's a fun night to do.
Now, I have no voice. When you have no voice, what do you do? What's your remedy?
Well, I rest it, but what happens is there have been very few times that I've lost it, but the muscle I build, it gets stronger and stronger as the seasons go on. So I go from football into basketball, then to college basketball, NBA, and NFL, all three at once. And so my voice gets pretty strong after a while. And I can shove a game. I can shove it through.
Andrew, he's saying I've got a weak voice.
I can shove it through, but there have been times, and I've got to really regulate myself. So okay, I feel for what you're going through.
That's what he's saying. So you have no inside information on the Ducks.
I have none. Okay. Sometimes really good reporters may slip and let me know.
No, I didn't tell you.
No, you know,
I did not tell you.
Slip is the wrong word. May hint.
Okay.
But no, I have no idea what. Okay. But we really don't. And they would rather us just react organically.
Right.
Like I said,
Right.
Do you know what really is resonating? We talked to Popovich a couple, and I feel bad even talking about this. But we talked to Popovich. We did a San Antonio game the other night, and I forget who I was working with. May have been Reg, and he goes, "What do you think of, you know, pace and space and threes and all this other stuff?" And Pop said, "I hate it. I hate it. I don't. It's not basketball. It's like a flying Melendez show. It's like they're shooting, they're long rebounding, they're going to spot up threes." And I used to love the 3-point contest, and I still do because I love the marksmanship, the skill it takes, and everything else. But I've kind of been jaded a little bit since I've heard that because he kind of serves as my compass.
Pop is messing with the league with this. This is the most beautiful the league has ever been.
I kind of have him serve as my compass because I know that in his heart he wants what's best for the game because he loves the purity of the game. And I don't think he sees that from night to night. And I think it's frustrating for him. Plus, he doesn't have the guys to really do that.
That's
yet,
true.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he's got a bunch of mid-range shooters.
Yes, he does.
So what, for the people who are listening, if there's somebody watching on TV, what do they miss by not being in the arena?
That's a good question. That's a great question. I think what they miss is the focus that the guys show in getting ready for what they're going to do. But what I think is the untold story is you don't feel the anxiety once they've screwed up on a dunk. Like they've opened the curtain and they've done what they're going to do, and now you know, and now you're, and they miss, and now you're thinking, you feel for the kid. If you feel like, oh my God, everything was focused toward that, and it didn't go. So the anxiety that I feel, and maybe I'm wrong in this interpretation, I feel bad for them when they miss because they're out there by themselves, right? They're just so naked.
They are. You're right. It feels, they have to feel strange.
And all of your peers and the biggest names are courtside watching, and it's on national TV and seen in the four corners of the world, and there you go, blowing a dunk. And I think that I can feel it. I've never talked to them, but I'm sure it's there. And I think that's why some of the biggest names don't do it, because they do not want to be embarrassed.
Oh, that's why LeBron.
Yes, right.
He's got nothing.
He promised a couple years ago. Remember
he's
that he
full
promised.
Of it. Yeah. You know what it was? You know what it was, Kevin? When he was in high school, he did the McDonald's All-American Slam Dunk Contest. It did not go well.
Interesting.
Shannon Brown should have won, but it was in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And the judges gave it to him.
Really? No kidding.
The other thing is,
but Shannon Brown probably should have.
Without question.
Yes. Yeah.
The other thing is,
and he was a high flyer. I mean, he was terrific.
Tracy McGrady told me this. To be great in the dunk contest, you got to be a 2-foot jumper.
Interesting.
Because that's how you get great air.
Yeah.
LeBron's a 1-foot jumper.
Interesting. I like it. Can I borrow? I'm going to borrow that sometime, if you don't mind.
Please do. Please do. I'll invoice you.
The preeminent guy in the league right here. I'm going to steal that line.
One last thing. No regard for human life.
Yeah.
One of the great moments of LeBron's career. When he really hadn't delivered yet.
He was just kind of emerging, wasn't he?
A Smith screen. Posey will defend. Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life has given the Cavaliers their biggest lead tonight.
All-time moment in your call career?
Well,
is it right
everybody
up there?
Brings it up, and when someone like you brings it up, now I guess it has even more meaning, so I appreciate that. But I was doing the game with Doug Collins, who is the best analyst I've ever worked with on many levels, but he was sitting to my right, and when LeBron began to take off into Garnett, he took his left arm and did an arm bar against my chest because he was falling back, and it came out as we were both falling back into the people in back of us. And when he had that kind of reaction, I had to come up with something, and I didn't, of course, none of that is, it just kind of comes out. But the look at his face when he kind of crouched like that afterward underneath the basket.
In the slow-mo, it's amazing.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And then he did against the reigning defensive player of the year.
And he wound up and...
All of it.
And it was
and it
was
extended.
And it was like game four.
It was
game four.
It was like a middle game of that series.
It was enough to where he had had enough of KG.
Yeah. And kind of sealed the win.
Yes.
And, big moment. Yeah. I don't know where he would rank it, and guys have made some incredible calls in different cities, Cleveland, LA now, and before that in Miami. But I liked it. Actually, you know what happened when I did the play-by-play on Monday Night Football, the guy running out onto the field, LeBron actually tweeted and said, "Wait a minute, I thought my play was the best play."
Right.
And so he did get involved in that. So I know that it meant something to him. Not that you do LeBron it for that, but as it's turned out, I guess.
LeBron remembers everything, trust me. All right, thank you for your time. Have a great show tonight.
Thank you, Brian.
And I hope for a great, we never know what's going to be a
we
good.
We never know, do we?
Good or bad.
It can be flat, or right. It can be electric.
You're either going to have to work hard, or you're not going to have to work at all.
No.
I hope you don't have to work at all.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it.
It's so nice to see you.
Thank you.
So nice to see you.
Coach Tony Bennett, who is recruiting me to Washington State, and called at the UVA.
Be interested to see in the second round if anyone changes strategy, meaning where is that final ball rack, or where they want that ball rack with the money ball.
His money ball rack is the last rack for him in the short corner, but you see how straight he's going versus the arc that Dirk has?
Yes.
I mean, it's almost like a line drive for Joe Harris. Same result, though.
We just watched Joe Harris. Did he go back-to-back 26 points?
Yeah, but the big thing is he made all 10 of his corner racks. The money ball rack in the corner. I did it, I just want to be clear. I picked him on gut intuition. And because I've seen him shoot, you know, he's good. But before the contest, Kevin Pelton said that the analytics actually showed he shot the best collectively from each zone. And he agreed with me. I felt much better about my pick at that time.
I've never been so excited about a three-point.
You were. I actually had to calm you down a little bit.
That's true. Okay, cool.
All right, we're waiting for him to come in with 7 other people. We're the most excited for sure. So I don't make predictions on anything, but for some reason I believed in you, and you look like a genius, so thank you so much. I'm indebted to you forever.
Well, I appreciate you believing in me.
So how did you decide on that corner rack for your...
I had just practiced it that way, and that's kind of how I felt comfortable.
Are you always good there in that in the right corner?
I actually am not that great, surprisingly, in the right corner, so...
You went against the analytics?
I went against the analytics. So the assistant coach that I work out with in Brooklyn, Jordan Ott, he pulled up an analytics sheet, and my weakest spot was actually the right corner. And
you're not making any sense.
Yeah, and I said, hey, that's actually, to be honest, where I probably feel most comfortable in this situation. And so I just kept it that way. I went against the grain, against the analytics.
When you were watching, you'll see this later, but they had you on screen.
Yeah.
As you were watching Steph.
Yeah.
When he missed one.
Yeah.
What did you think? You just said, I got it.
Yeah, well, so there at the end. Hey, my man. Thought we were going to that tiebreaker, man.
Steph booing you.
Yeah, no, he's the man. Great guys. That's the thing. It's like everybody that was competing, you know, we knew it was a pretty stacked field, but it was fun even just when we were practicing up there. Actually, Steph was the one that was like, hey, everybody take a turn. Get a practice round in, and you know we're rebounding for each other. You know, I think that's pretty unique.
So when you saw him miss it, you knew at that moment, you're like, I got it.
Yeah, I knew when he got to the money rack, he had to make all of them in order to tie. And to be honest, I thought that we were for sure going to a tiebreaker. I hadn't seen him miss a corner three yet, so I was almost kind of warming up my legs almost a little bit again, just to get ready to go. But then, yeah, stroke of luck, saw him miss one.
Congrats, Joe.
I appreciate it, Brian. Thank you.
Get rid of the goggles.
Yeah, don't put no ankles out here.
No, you can jump with goggles on.
I'm pinned.
There you go.
Okay, what you about to do?
That plane is about to take off at the same time.
Oh, my God.
I hope so.
I hope this plane doesn't take him out at the same time.
No, he's jumping over there.
He's jumping way over there.
Yeah, way over.
Okay, I don't know. I told you that plane might take him out.
Good thing it was a replica.
Rachel.
Wait.
Full disclosure, we just did this 5 minutes ago, and it didn't record because I don't know what I'm doing. Rachel was gracious enough to hang around because she carries around a 32-pound computer, and before she could leave, we dragged her back for a second take.
Rachel, this is the end.
I can't believe what you sound like. I really can't. This is worse than when we did it 5 minutes ago.
I'm here to say that John Collins got screwed. He shouldn't have dunked he shouldn't have had to go first. And he shouldn't have gotten penalized when other guys.
No one cared about John Collins getting screwed the first time. They don't care about it this time.
They definitely don't care about it now.
Rachel, yes. What's one thing you did this weekend that one else got to see?
Let's talk about Amadou Diallo for 1 minute because that was worth talking about. And Joe Harris, your guy.
We've already done a lot of Joe Harris. We've given our Joe Harris.
All right. Hamidou Diallo should have called the dunk contest
after he dunked over Shaq,
the Superman reveal, the Vince Carter arm and the hoop. That's it. Also, my other critique of the dunk contest judges, because, you know, who am I to sit there and critique a bunch of Hall of Famers? If someone does not put the ball through the hoop, they should get 0 points. Because guess what's happened in an NBA game when you don't put the ball through the hoop? You get no points.
With more reason why John Collins' scores were bull. Did you see the moment that I had?
I can't believe that John Collins' dunk contest scores are the hill you're dying on. And when I say dying, anyone who's listening to you right now believes that that is in fact what's happening.
By the way, the Hawks almost didn't let him do that dunk. And I understand why they didn't, because he almost tripped. Now, last night at dinner, I ran into D. Brown.
You did. You didn't recognize him, though. Are we copping to that on the podcast?
I copped to it.
Okay.
But then what happened?
I mean, so many things happened.
I became very emotional. Because D. Brown at the dunk contest.
Oh, yes.
1988.
Yes.
I was 10 years old.
Yes.
I wanted the Reebok pumps. Or was it 91? Whatever year it was. Had to be 91. Whatever year it was here.
It was 1991. I know because I've been doing distant replays that our producer, Michael Bommer, dug up from the Charlotte All-Star Game in 1991.
The black Reebok pumps with the orange pump. Andrew, I wanted them so badly.
I don't think you get to be emotional or reminiscent about someone that you don't remember when they come up to you to shake their hand. I don't think you get to then say, oh, this was such a special moment for me. It meant so much to my childhood. I hold it dear now. I'm emotional. The man stood in front of your face, reached his hand out, and said, hey, how are you? And you basically were like, please stop bothering me. I'm very famous.
It's really not even that bad. It's even worse. I said, nice to meet you. Yeah. He goes, we met before. Rachel, I can't go on.
We can tell. We are listening to you. Seriously, you have sounded awful for weeks, but this really, you've topped yourself.
I'm supposed to be on the jump in several days.
It's not going to go well.
All right. Thank you for coming over. Maybe this recorded. Maybe it didn't.
I'm not doing it a third time. I don't like you that much.
You were
at this point one of my oldest friends, and I don't like you that much.
Thank you, Listen to Hoop Collective. Thank you, Andrew Hahn.
That's it from All-Star Weekend for us. Thanks to OG Ananobi, Joe Harris, Donovan Mitchell, John Collins, Steph Curry, Kevin Harlan, Rachel Nichols. This has been Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective.